Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Livonier, and this hour variety from a single program, it's the Kraft Music Hall, an NBC broadcast from April 16, 1942. There are famous names in this broadcast, among them Ronald Reagan, comedian Victor Borge, and host singer Bing Crosby. But this episode is made more significant by it being the earliest broadcast recording of Spike Jones and his City Slickers, a musician that turned the tables on popular music of the day and even satirized it, leading to a very illustrious and prolific career. This episode of the Kraft Music Hall first heard on April 16, 1942.
The Kraft Music Hall with Bing Crosby, Mary Martin, Victor Borge, John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, and the Music Maids and Hal. Bing's distinguished visitors for this evening include Ronald Reagan, star of Warner Brothers Pictures, Spike Jones and his City Slickers in person, and Sabu the Elephant Boy. And here's Bing Crosby.
Katie, oh beautiful Katie, you're the only girl that I adore. And when the moon shines over the cacao shed, I'll be waiting at the kitchen door.
Katie,
beautiful Katie, you're the only girl that I adore. And when the moon shines over the cowshed, I'll be waiting at the kitchen door.
Welcome to the old Kraft Music Hall, friends, and greetings and appreciation to the fighting men of the United States and the United Nations, soldiers, sailors, marines, and coast guardsmen at sea and ashore in every strategic quarter of the globe, to whom this chivalry is being short-waved.
Just think, Bing, it's getting to be winter down in Australia, and around here signs of spring are everywhere.
Yeah, they tell me they're putting up signs of spring in all the theatrical boarding houses from Hollywood to New York.
Oh, you're kidding.
No. These signs of spring say, don't send out your laundry till after you've checked with your draft board.
Well, the signs of spring I meant were women's hats.
Oh, they are a sign of something. Off-the-face hats, over-the-eye hats, under-the-chin hats, and around-the-ear hats.
I think they're kind of cute.
You like them, huh? Why don't they come out with a startling innovation like an on-the-head hat? Has that been done?
Well, that's impractical. With hat on her head, how could a woman show off her new hairdo?
What is this off-the-face business, anyhow? Was there ever an on-the-face hat?
Well, certainly.
There was, huh?
The Army has lots of on-the-face models. Only they call them gas masks.
Oh, I see what you mean. The Army's got lots of everything, Mary. They got tanks rolling out of our factories a train load a day. 3,500 airplanes a month.
We're up to 3,500?
Mm-hmm.
Gee.
Yep, 3,500. That's getting pretty close to a perfect score.
Well, what's a perfect score?
Well, a couple of more thousand, and a bell rings, we tilt Tokyo and Berlin lights up. At the moment, John Scott and his group light up with a little introduction from Mary.
Life was so peaceful at Lockheed. Life was so calm and serene. Life was pretty till that unlucky day I happened to read that magazine. Why did I read that advertisement where it said, since I rumble, Jim thinks I'm sublime. Why, oh, why did I ever try when I didn't have the talent and I didn't have have the money. And teacher did not have the time. Oh, Walter Murray taught me dancing in a hurry. I had a week to spare. He showed me the groundwork, the walk around work, and told me to take it from there. Arthur Murray then advised me not to worry. It'd come out all right. He wasn't mistaken, the balls I've taken, I don't know my left from my right. All the people around me can all sing, a one and a two and a three. But any resemblance to waltzing is just coincidental to me, 'cause Arthur Murray taught me dancing in a hurry. And so I take a chance. To me it resembles the 9-day trembles, but he guarantees it's a dance.
Turkey trot or gavotte, don't know which, don't know what, jitterbug, bunny hug, long as you've got a rug. Walk the dog, do the clog, Lindy, how do you drop? Ball the jack, back to back, cheek to cheek, till you're weak.
Oh, you've heard of Pavlova, well, jack, move over, make way for the queen. The queen of the dance.
Thank you, Mary. With most of his recent, his most recent release, Jungle Book, opening in Hollywood this evening, New Universal's picture, young star Sabu hasn't been in the Old Kraft Music Hall in over a year and a half. That's right around the time he was appearing in The Thief of Baghdad. Ah, Baghdad. The very mention of the place fills me with a strange, incurable longing. Homesickness, I suppose you might call it, but then I suppose my love of everything Oriental goes back to my first visit to Cairo. Cairo, Illinois. But I digress. I was speaking of Baghdad. That was the Baghdad that I knew, the Baghdad of my youth. How well do I remember that small swap shop and motel that I had back of Cutrafe Caliph's saltwater taffy shop. Sabu was one of my two assistants. I recall the morning I was practicing my Oriental basket trick. My other assistant was inside the basket, and Sabu, who was beside me, said,
Sub Crosby, why do you need two assistants?
Oh, you shall see. Now stand aside. I'm about to do the trick. Very simple. All I do is plunge these three razor-sharp swords through the basket. Apparently through my assistant. So. Now open the basket lid and you will find my assistant still in one piece. Right?
Wrong.
Can't understand it. I lose more assistants that way.
Do not despair, Saab. You are still the only American faker in all Baghdad. You will be proud to know that I have finally learned your wonderful trick with the magic carpet. Look, Saab, in the other room. The magic carpet is 4 feet off the floor.
Yes. How did you manage to sweep that much dust under one carpet?
Someday you must teach me your system, sir. How do you get your carpet to fly?
The moths hold hands.
Baghdad is a strange place. Did you hear the terrific crash last night when Jumbo climbed to the top of the elephant pen and jumped?
Jumbo did that? Why?
Jumbo thought he was Dumbo.
Look, two people have just entered the shop, Sabu. One is wearing a zeet sheet with a pleat seat. Who is the other?
A beautiful girl named Princess Martini.
How'd you know her name?
Oh, her name is written on her sarong. Princess Martini, Golden Gloves, 1941.
Oh, that's the kid. Tired, aren't you, Princess?
I am Princess Martini.
Are you with Olive or Pearl Onion? That's a Gibson, I forgot.
You look as if you had a terrible trip, Princess Martini.
I did. My camel and I stumbled into an abandoned tiger pit. Someone had dug along the trail.
Tiger pit? Sabu, do tigers have pits?
I don't know. I never had a tiger.
I stand before you, Swanee Crosby, a beautiful woman who needs help. The harem. The harem is revolting.
Yes, I know, but good fun. Wait a minute while I take a look at my crystal ball. I see a large, formless shape hovering over you.
Oh, you must mean Trotter. Trotter, the tent wearer.
Yeah. That boy sure got a drape shape with a plump slump, hasn't he?
Somebody call me. I'm available for crystal readings.
Why, I thought you were a snake charmer.
Do I look like a snake charmer?
No, you look more like an elephant, boy.
There they go!
Pardon my intrusion, but I am the Sheik, Hot Tense Carpenter. Yeah. I have come for my little harem Hotfoot, Princess Martini. Oh, desert doll. Oh, Persian pigeon. Why have you from me departed? What grounds had you to ever fear me? My own, my own, my own Jean Tierney.
Oh, that is not true. Haven't I always been a good wife to you?
Well, I don't know. I haven't received a report on you lately.
That settles it. I shall fly away to Hollywood. Will you take me with you on your magic carpet, Sabu?
I would be very happy to, Princess Martini.
Say, Sabu, this telegram just came for you. You shan't be able to fly to Hollywood with Princess Martini on your magic carpet after all.
Oh, why not?
This telegram is from the Baghdad Interceptor Command.
Oh. Yes, I've just been grounded.
As some of our clients probably know, Victor Borge, the young Danish pianist, wit, and raconteur, recently familiarized us with his version of the up-to-the-minute English. This is a little thing known as the upper language. And as I understand it, it's really catching on, Victor.
I'm very happy to know that many people are using my new invention, the upper language. But I have heard some mistakes, and I think it's better that I'll explain it to you so you won't make those mistakes in using this language. First of all, I want to explain to you why I invented it. You know, in wartime, everything goes up. Everything gets more expensive. If you pay 10 cents today for something, you pay 11 tomorrow. So you add one to every price. Sometimes you add more, but we start out with one. Couldn't do it less. And the only thing that hasn't gone up yet is the language. And that's why I come in. I made the upper language. It means that every number in the language gets up with one, you know? You add one to each number in the language. There are many numbers in the language. Maybe you never notice it, but there are. And I'll give you a couple of examples how it would be. A word like wonderful, there's a number one in that. Wonderful will be tutorful. This is very simple. Then we have create. It would be crinine. Before will be B5. And, of course, lieutenant will be lieutenant. Promotion. Then a word like tennis will be 11, of course, and double talk will be triple talk, and so on and so on. Then I could mention a little sentence. If you say, I ate a tenderloin with my fork, ate tenderloin with my fork, it will be I 9 and 11 tenderloin with my 5. This is the idea, and I would like to read a little story to you so you could in the upper language. And later on, we have a little song written so you can hear we can sing and we can talk and we can do everything with this language. This little story is called All This and Heaven 3. And it starts like this. Twice upon a time, a man arrived here in sunny California. He came all the way from Elevenesee. It's a little bit difficult, Tennessee, but... Two of his legs were broken, so he had only two left. He came here to an institution. Free rest. And recuperine. This fellow was a 50-11er. You see, I have to explain this to you because this is really difficult. He was a 49er. But a 49er is a 50-10er, but a 10er is an 11er, so a 49er will be a 50-11er. It should really be a 60-12er, but that's too much. This story gets pretty involved, so I think I'll rather show how the upper language sounds in daily conversation. And lovely Mary Martin... Mary Mar 11. Fine, that's the new name. Mary Mart 11 will help me out. So you can hear how it sounds in daily conversation. The following conversation takes place in a little house in Baltimore. Baltimore. Mary, my daughter, I'm thirsty. Will you bring me a bottle of 8 up?
Oh, I'm busy, Father. I only have 3 hands.
Say, did you go to the, take the course in the first 8, the second 9 today?
Yes. I met a tutorful little Loodle Evanant.
Tell me, Mary, was it love at second sight?
Father.
My dear child, tell me the truth. As I told you twice be 5, you have only 2 fathers, and that's me. Come on, tell me.
Well, he's just 3 divine.
Mary, my daughter, may I take this opportunity to tell you who's knocking at the door?
Maybe it's opportunity.
No. Opportunity only knocks twice. Come in.
How do you do? I'm Lute Levin at Double Crosby.
Mr. Lute Levin, will you give me some information about yourself? Are you married or double?
I'm strictly on the up and up.
Good, then you couldn't be married. May I ask you, on my daughter's be 1.5, are you sincere?
I think Mary is tutorful.
I don't give 3 cents whether you think she is 1, 2, 3, or 4-tiful. Are you sincere?
Do I look 3-faced?
I wish you did, then I could take my choice. However, I'll leave both of you 3 alone, and I think you make a 2-tiful triple.
Treedaloo, treedaloo.
Mary, you are my 2 and only.
And you are... You are my tutorful little Loodle Evanant.
And I come from Timbuktu.
You are my tutorful little Loodle Evanant. You're the only 2-5 me.
It's higher praises that he deserves, so we sing his praises in higher words.
You are my tutorful little Loodle Evanant.
And I come from Timbuktu.
There's a handsome lieutenant and he's mine, all mine. No word is high enough,
no praise to the sky enough.
So I had to raise all the words by 1. He is much more than wonderful, so I add 1. I call him tutorful.
That's 1 more than wonderful.
In fact, he's just 3 divine. He is my tutorful little Loodle Evanant. And he comes from Timbuktu. He is my tutorful little Loodle Evanant. He's the only 2-5 me. His praise is higher that he deserves. So I sing his praises in higher verse. He is my tutorful little Loodle Evanant. And he comes from Timbuktu.
Does he come from California?
No, no.
Does he come from Elevenesee?
No, no.
does he come from Washington?
No, no, he comes from Timbuktu. It's higher praises that he deserves, so I sing his praises in higher words. He is my tutor for little Lute Levenan, and he comes from Timbuktu. And he comes from Timbuktu.
Time marches back. 1927, Calvin Coolidge is president of these United States. 1927, the 18th Amendment to the Constitution is being widely ignored as flask-toting flappers and finale hoppers cause grave concern for the future of the younger generation. Thinking men with growing children are saying...
You know, Mary, when it comes to drawing those flappers and those finale hoppers, nobody can touch John Hell Jr.
Oh, he sure is popular. But, Harry, why do you suppose they call the boy flappers finale hoppers?
Well, you see, these finale hoppers, they show up carrying a slight load. They crash the joint just before home sweet home, and they finagle the flaps from the guys who are sleeping it off in the locker room.
You know, Harry, I wish I could Charleston with you without wearing shin guards.
You can relax, baby. The Charleston's all washed up. Right now, I'm learning the Black Bottom.
The Black Bottom?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the name of a dance?
Well, it's a fair pie, too. A black bottom, a new twister, sure got 'em and oh.
Oh, Harry, where do you learn such things?
Well, it's a little speakeasy around the corner. I like to
There's
know.
A what?
There's a little speakeasy around the corner. You know, next to the soda fountain where I get my malted and tuna fish on whole wheat every noon. And I like to drop
in. Yeah, and
I
suppose you put your ear to the wall and hear them singing and dancing the black bottom.
Oh, you don't even have to put your ear to the wall. The whole building shakes. It's kind of a rickety building.
It's kind of a rickety alibi, too.
You trying to tell me you think I sit around in speakeasies?
Well, I might think that if I didn't happen to know you couldn't get into one.
Oh, is that so?
Yes, that's so.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the day you suggested a glass of wine to celebrate our anniversary. We rang the bell at 6 places. Not a one of them would let you in.
Well, you don't want to go around kicking about that. You said yourself you liked the chocolate soda better.
There we stood in the rain, and the man opened the little peephole, and you said, hello, Charlie, remember me? And he said, nope, this is a private residence. And then we went on to someplace else.
Funny, isn't it? How all those places suddenly turned into private residences.
One thing struck me as strange.
You mean when a mounted policeman came out with his horse?
Yes. Yeah. I wondered if you noticed it, too.
Say, have you heard Paul Whiteman play, Through the black of night, I got to go where you are. And if it's wrong or right...
Sounds wrong to me.
Well, not the way Paul Whiteman plays it. You know that trio he's got with him, those, the Rhythm Boys.
Do you like them?
Don't you?
Well, there's 3 too many of them.
It's a trio.
I know.
Listen, they don't do bad with Mississippi mud. Happy as a cow, just a chewing on a cut. And when the doctor beat the beat on the Mississippi. Oh, dear, happy as a cow, when the doctor beat the beat on.
Harry, 2 of the boys aren't bad. That little old fat one with a cymbal that annoys me. What's he keep hitting that cymbal for?
Listen, if any of his whispered warbling seeps through, the kid's through.
Well, I don't like that jazz stuff anyway. I like songs like, Sometimes I'm happy, sometimes I'm blue. My disposition depends on you. Oh, it does too, Harry.
Does what?
Oh, nothing.
I took one look at you. That's all I meant to do. And then my heart stood still.
Honestly, Harry, remember the first night you held my hand? It was in the balcony at Showboat.
Oh, yeah. And all evening on the way home, you kept singing.
We could make believe I love you. Only make believe that you love me. Others find peace of mind in pretending. Couldn't you, couldn't I, couldn't we? make believe our lips are blending in a phantom kiss, or two or three. Might as well make believe I love you, for to tell the truth, I do.
And thus, friends, for make-believe.
Which brings us back to the Kraft Music Hall involving Ronald Reagan, Spike Jones and his City Slickers, John Scott Trotter, and at the moment, Mary Martin and Friend.
I'll be with you in apple blossom time. I'll be with you change your name to mine. One day in May, I'll come and say, happy the bride that the sun shines on today.
What a wonderful wedding there will be. What a wonderful day for you and me. Church bells will chime.
You will be mine.
In apple blossom time.
Apple blossom time.
I'll be with you
and change your name.
One day in May, we both shall say, happy the bride that the sun shines on today. What a wonderful wedding there will be. What a wonderful day for you and me. Church bells will chime.
You will be mine.
In apple blossom
Pursuant to our frequently outlined policy of spotlighting the talented individuals in John Scott Trotter's versatile organization, we turn to a brand new group that's recently been clicking solid with the cats. This is a group under the Barrel House baton of the regularly accredited drummer of Trotter's troupe. That would be Spike Jones, guiding genius of the much-heralded Spike Jones and his City Slickers. Slickers include such other Trotter regulars as Perry Bodkin, guitar and banjo, King Jackson trombone, also Don Anderson trumpet, Hank Stern on the tuba, Stanley Reitzman piano, and vocals by Dell Porter, formerly of the Foursome. As music lovers know, the arrangements of Spike Jones and his City Slickers are so intricate in their contrapuntal refinements, so subtle, so gossamer-sheer and lacy in their harmonic structure, that I have asked Spike himself to give us an example. Spike Jones and his City Slickers playing his recently recorded and soon to be released version of Little Bo Peep Has Lost Her Jeep.
Little Bo Peep has lost her jeep. Private Jackson had a girl he fondly called Bo Peep. Now Jackson didn't have a car, so drove by in a Jeep. They took a ride, the time flew by, and Bo Peep was in heaven. Till Jackson cried, Bo Peep, this Jeep's gotta be in camp by 11. So little Bo Peep has lost her Jeep and don't know where to find it. Her soldier boy took it back to camp and left Bo Peep behind it. It didn't have doors, the seats were hard, but Bo Peep never minded. It didn't ride like a Cadillac, she wondered who designed it. Roller coaster nearly killed her, aeroplanes, they never thrilled her. But with Jackson at the wheel, she got that Jeep, Jeep, Jeep appeal. Now little Bo Peep wants to find her Jeep and find her soldier Chappy. If he comes chug chug in his old Blitz buggy, Bo Peep will be happy. Little Bo Peep, she lost her Jeep. Her boyfriend made an error. He let her drive. Goodness sakes alive, that Bo Peep, she's a terror. With throttle pushed down, she tore through town. The red lights didn't stop her. The soldier knew that they both were through when she sideswiped a copper. She's lost her Jeep, oh my, why must her joy end? Now her little Jeep is laying in a heap, and the guardhouse has her boyfriend.
There, the cornet player dropped his watch or something. That is really magnificent, Spike. That's the kind of music that will live. Full of such softness and such polish and finesse, such culture, such refinement.
What say, Lillis?
That looks to me like swing music's here to stay.
Sure is, Lillis. Wonderful world, wonderful
it
world.
Is, yes.
The other day, I went up to a farmer while he was milking his cow to ask him for the time.
What'd he say, Spike?
Well, sir, there he sat.
Yeah.
A-swinging and a-swaying and a-milking. And he says, 8 to the bar, Jackson, and she's sending solid.
Put the cover on the corn crib, Mother. We've shucked enough for tonight.
And the cover is on as Spike Jones and his City Slickers play Pass the Biscuits, Miranda.
Of Tennessee, set beneath the hickory tree, there's an ornery rifle shooting mountaineer. He loves mountain feuds, and he also loves good food, and when he goes home to supper, you will hear, oh, pass the biscuit, Mirandy, I'm just as hungry as them. Pass the gravy, Mirandy, I need some stop to stop them in. Since 9 o'clock, I've been sitting on a rock, a-shooting everything in sight. I shot the boys and a dozen barking boys. Shooting gives a man an appetite. Oh, pass the biscuits, Mirandy. Pass them and kiss me goodbye. They're so heavy, Mirandy. I feel like I'm a-gonna die. Then he heard a rifle crack, and a bullet hit the shack, and another broke the dishes on the shelf. So he grabbed his trusty gun, cause the battle had begun, and he knew that he must then protect himself. Oh, pass the biscuit, Mirandy. I'm a-gonna load up my gun. I'll use your biscuits for bullets. I'll put them marvelous on the run. He poured a ton of black powder in his gun, rammed the biscuits into place. Then he took aim, oh my gracious, what a shame. Bang, the gun exploded in his face. As the bandits surround me, I know that I'm gonna die. Darn your biscuits, Mirandy. I knew they'd get me by and by. It's Mary, I'm crazy about Mary, for Mary is plainly lovely. When she's with me, I'm a happy guy. Oh, Mary, without her, I'm lonely. And if she will say I do, then I will too, and make Mary mine.
Ronald Reagan, recently awarded star billing for his fine work in the Warner Brothers picture King's Row, is also soon to be seen in something called Duke Girl. These, with a picture called Desperate Journey, will probably wind up Reagan's film career pro tem, because on April 19th, Ronald Reagan joins the United States Armed Forces. Just what branch of the service you going into, Ronnie?
Well, after 5 years in the reserves, Bing, I'm receiving a commission in the cavalry.
Oh, that's wonderful.
You know, I think they should give every man in the Army a commission.
Oh, Mary, how could they give every man in the Army a commission?
Oh, it wouldn't have to be much. Just a little something, say 30 cents a jap.
Too many guys willing to do it free.
Look, you being an ex-radio announcer in Big Ten football circles ought to qualify for you for a spot in, like an observer in the Air Corps, huh?
Well, it's been over 4 years since I've been behind a sports announcer's mic, Bing.
Isn't that just like radio? Wasting a fine actor like you doing silly old sports broadcasts when they could have used you in those daytime serials.
Yeah, it would have been... would have been happy casting, too. Ronald Reagan's capable characterization of one of those happy-go-lucky, misunderstood citizens would fit admirably into any one of these exciting mid-morning matinees. Oh, in Fancy's Flight, I can almost hear the announcer now saying...
The makers of Vagabond Varnish for walls, floors, and pancakes present the dreary drama Heartbreak Hospice, the true life story of Ronnie, boy exterminator. And remember, friends, if Vagabond Varnish doesn't give you a glossy finish and a fine glow, your hospital expenses will be cheerfully refunded. And now to Ronnie, boy exterminator of Heartbreak Hospice. Well, it seems like only yesterday that poor Ronnie drank potato bug spray, thinking it was orange Pico. But don't worry, Ronnie is all right now. The police gave him the third degree and pumped it out of him. And how about Ronnie's fiancée, Marva? Are her troubles never over? That is what Ronnie wonders as he says to her.
Marva, my darling, let me take you away from all this. The house seems so empty, so cold and drafty, since the oil burner blew up.
No, Ronald. Here I shall stay. This is my home, and I'm stuck with it.
I tell you, Marva, you don't belong here anymore. Now that Claude has proven that John knifed Oscar after Henrietta's nervous breakdown, when Daphne told Murdo that Consuela had received the mysterious message from Paulette, telling Sharon that Fleetwood had secretly been operating a gin mill in Clarabella's backyard, right in the shadow of Mr. Grunsmere's counterfeit money plant.
No, dear, things really haven't been the same in Heartbreak Hospice since that night 20 years ago when I sent the grocery boy out on an errand, never to see him again. Come in.
Well, here I am.
Who are you?
Harvey, the grocery boy.
Where did you come from?
Finkel's Delicatessen. I have your liver, you remember?
After 20 years, you finally came back. What took you so long?
Who told me to hurry?
You must go now, Harvey. Marva and I want to be alone.
Why?
Can't you see Marva's mopping the floor?
Well, why don't she use a mop? She'll never get that grit out of her hair.
Oh, please go away, Harvey. Things are terrible at Heartbreak Hospice. Last week, we had 15 catastrophes.
15 catastrophes?
Pretty bad, huh? Two below our usual quota.
Who's that laying over in the corner?
Marva's grandpa.
Oh, I thought he was going to swear off.
He did swear off, but only off pretzels.
Marva, what about your Uncle Varicose?
Uncle Varicose was a vain man.
No.
2 days ago, he fell from a 12-story building.
What happened?
He was a flagpole sitter. He always wanted his own way, and the pole finally gave in.
Fell 12 stories, huh?
Yes. Uncle Varicose was terribly let down.
Yes, of course, of course.
It could have been worse. His company was very efficient.
Efficient? How?
As he passed the sixth floor, they handed him his compensation insurance.
Good firm, good firm.
Sometimes I wouldn't know how to get along if it wasn't for Ronnie. Yesterday we had a short circuit, and he came and lengthened it.
Good boy, good boy. But from now on, Marva, you will share your troubles with me.
I'm sorry, Harvey, but I've fallen in love with Ronnie. So you must take back your liver and go. Go and never again darken my sofa pillows with your hair oil.
No. No, I won't let you make this sacrifice. I can see that it is him you really love. And besides, I'd rather go anyway.
Well, if you're so set on going.
Stop at the grocery store and tell them to send over a can of sardines.
Are you hungry?
No. The goldfish are lonesome. Harvey, do you hear that? Do you know what that noise means?
Faucet's dripping.
No, it means Ronnie is out in that storm.
Run for your lives. The dam has burst.
Just a minute. What dam has burst?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Thank you very much, Ronald Reagan.
Now then, Ken, how do things look tonight to you?
Well, if the folks at your house like to sneak a bite between meals or at bedtime, you ought to know about Kraft's famous cheese food. Rich, yet mild Velveeta is the very thing refrigerator raiders love to find.
Sing me a song of the islands, my serenade that the trade winds know. Sing me a song of the islands, where hearts are high when the moon is low, where rippling waters seem to say aloha, va'e ahoe. Bring me the fragrance of ginger from your guitar while I dream away. Sing me a song of the island, aloha, va'e ahoe. Seem to say aloha, va'e ahoe. Bring me the fragrance of ginger strum your guitar while I dream away. Sing me a song of the island, aloha, va'e ahoe.
Before we close tonight's business, friends, may we congratulate station KFI on their 20th anniversary. Next Thursday, there'll be another meeting in the Old Kraft Music Hall, when over and above our regular group, we'll have such
such distinguished guests as Captain Floyd J. Sweet of the Army Air Corps Glider Training Detachment. That's next Thursday. Till then, think about this. Whatever it is you're doing now, it's about an 8-to-5 shot that you're doing it because you want to. That's what this war is about, your right to do what you want to do. Unless this war is won, yes, and until this war is won, nobody's going to be able to do just exactly what he or she wants to do again. So we got to win. We're going to have to pack a heap of power, and it's going to take every man, woman, and dollar that we can scrape together. This is no small change job. This is it. So see your boss tomorrow. Tell him you want to double that dough that he's holding out of your salary for war bonds. There's no better time than right now to double up and beat the double dealers. See you about that first thing A.M., huh? Good night.
Craft Music Hall comes to you from Hollywood's Radio City.
Clock. I'll have to hurry. Bob will be home all in a flurry.
Let me suggest macaroni and cheese, a dinner dish that's bound to please.
But Mr. Grocer, I haven't time. Although your suggestion is very fine.
Oh, yes, you have. Just get Kraft Dinner.
Don't forget to tune in to Kraft Music Hall next Thursday. The Rudy Valley Seal Test Program with John Barrymore will follow immediately over most of these same stations from Hollywood. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
The Kraft Music Hall on Tuned to Yesterday from the 16th of April 1942 on NBC. And so closes this hour of variety on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Livonier. It's been a pleasure.